O Hari Nam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from a string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Sukadeva. O Hari Nam, I take complete shelter of you. So in this verse, Rupa Goswami's he's glorifying the holy name, and he's saying that the Upanishads, which are considered the crown jewels of all the Vedas, because the Vedas have different sections, right? And the Upanishads are the philosophical section of the Vedas, or they're explaining the philosophical meaning of the different Vedic verses. And he's saying here that the Upanishads, their conclusion is that there's nothing superior than the holy name of the Lord. And so he's comparing them to a light that that's in the darkness that reveals, what's actually there. So many people study the Vedas and they may be confused about what is the ultimate teaching of the Vedas, what is the goal, what is the meaning. And so that confusion is a kind of darkness. And so the Upanishads are showing or giving light that the holy name is the real goal, or worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the real goal of the Vedas. It's the real teaching. And then he's saying, if you don't accept the Vedas, then at least you should follow the great sages like Narada and Sukadeva, because they're also worshiping the holy name of the Lord. That's their only business, is hearing and chanting. Sukadeva Goswami is famous for hearing and the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is non-different. As we'll read later when we read different verses about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is considered the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and Sukadeva Goswami, he's the speaker, and Maharaj Parikshit is the listener. And so Sukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection by speaking the Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni, he's famous as traveling all over the universes, glorifying the holy name, singing the holy name in accompaniment of his veena.
Jaya Nama Deha Muni Vrindagehe Janaranjanaya Paramakshara Krute Tumanadarada Pimanagudhiritam Nikilogratapa Patalimba Lumpasi O Harinam, all glories to you. Sung by all the sages, you are the supreme combination of syllables, and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you receive the extreme sufferings. Text 3. Yada baso pyadyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo. Drisham tat vandanam apitishati bhakti pranayinim. Janas tasyo datam jagati bhagavan nama tarine. Kriti te nirvaktum ka iha mahimanam prabhavati. O Son of the Holy Name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of materialistic life, and give those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the path of pure devotional service. Who in this world, even if learned and pious, can fully describe your transcendental glory? Yad Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishchayapi Vinashamayati Vinanda Bhogai Apaiti namas puranina tatte. Prarabdha karmeti viroti vedaha. O holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions, that they must be enjoyed or suffered, but that when you manifest in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. Agadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno. Kamalanayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanindraha. Pranatakaruna Krishnav Ityaneka Swarupe. Tvai Mamaratir Ucharvardatam Namadheya. O holy name, you have many forms, such as Agadamana, Crusher of Agasura, Yashoda Nandan, darling child of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, lotus eyed one, Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranatakarana, he who is merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, I pray that my love for you and your many forms may greatly increase. Vacham vachakam itudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. Purvasmat bodameva hunta karunam tatrapi jani mahe. Yastasmin vihita parabdha nivaha prani samantad bhaved. Asnyenedam upasya sopihi sadanandam buddhau majati. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate, and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends you, you perform in many ways. You plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss, serves you with the second form of this voice. Sudita Shrita Janarti Rashaye Ramya Chit Ghana Sukha Sarupine Nama Gokula Mahotsavayate Krishna Purna Vapushe Namo Namaha. O holy name, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. You are the very form of concentrated spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula, and the perfect and complete form of Lord Krishna. And again I bow to you. Narada Vido Jivana Sudormi Nirasa Madhuri Pura Tang Krishna Nama Kamam Spuramira Sanera Sena Sada. O enlivener of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy names of Krishna, please forever manifest in my tongue with all your nectarians. Shri Namashtakam Ki Jai, Shri Rupa Goswami Ki Jai, Goprimanande Hari Hari Bo. I just want to give you a little taste of this Govinda Damodar Stotram that I brought back from New York with me. And it's got 71 verses, so I'm not going to read them all right now. But I just wanted to read a few of them so that maybe you'll get it stuck in your head for the day. And it's very sweet. And just remember these three names. Govinda Damodar Madhava. Could everyone say Govinda Damodar Madhava?
Govinda Damodar Madhava.
And now call it out like you were at the time of death and you're calling out for the Lord's help. Govinda Damodar Madhava. Now I'll read a few of these verses. This is from Srila Bilvamangal Thakur. Agre karunam atapandavanam dushashaninar hritavastra kesha Krishna tadakroshada nanyanata Govinda damodara madhaveti. Does anybody know this stotram? You've heard it. Before the assembled Kurus and Pandavas, when Dushasana caught her hair and clothing, Krishna, Draupadi, having no other lord, cried out, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. You can help out. Shri Krishna Vishnu Madhukaita Bhare Bhaktanu Kampim Bhagavan Murare Trayasva Mam Keshava Lokanatha Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. O Lord Krishna, Vishnu, enemy of the Madhu and Kaitava demons, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, enemy of Mura, merciful upon the devotees, O Keshava, Lord of the world, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, please deliver me. Vikrekama kila gopaha kanya murari padarpita chitta vritti tadhadikam mohabashada vochad Govinda damodara madhaveti. Though desiring to sell milk, dahi, butter, etc., the mind of a young gopi was so absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna that instead of calling out, "Milk for sale," she bewilderedly said, Govinda damodara madhava. Ulukale samrita tandulanscha sankatayantyo mushalai padugda gayanti gopyo janitaturaga govinda damo dharamadaveti. Their grinding mortars full of grains, the gopis' minds are overcome as they thresh with their pestles, singing Govinda damodar madhava. A lotus-eyed girl instructed the red-beaked parrot, pet parrot that was seated in the cup of her lotus hand. She said, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. In each and every house, a bevy of gopi women is engaged in making the caged parrots constantly utter with broken words, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. With the little boy lying in the swing, all of the gopis used to expertly sing compositions set to musical notes and rhythm. They went, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, while putting him to rest. The younger brother of Balaram, playing mischievously, was dodging about her with his restless eyes, taking a ball of fresh butter to lure him over. A gopi called to him, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. O my tongue, since my mouth has become like a lotus by dint of the presence of these eloquent, ornamental, delightful syllables, you are like the swan that plays there. As your foremost pleasure, always articulate the names Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. The one and only Lord of Lakshmi Devi, as an inconspicuous little cowherd boy, was seated in the lap of Mother Yashoda, drinking her breast milk. Merged in bliss, she addressed him, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. In Vrajadham, Krishna was playing with his playmates, the boys of his age who protected the animals, with great love. Mother Yashoda called out to her own son, O Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. Being firmly tied up to the grinding mortar with a cow's rope by Mother Yashoda, the plunderer of butter softly whimpered, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. In his own courtyard, Krishna was carelessly playing with a bracelet, so a gopi took a ball of butter to him, and shutting his eyes with her palm, she distracted him. O Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, guess what I have for you? In house after house, groups of cowherd ladies gather on various occasions, and together they always chant the transcendental names of Krishna, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. His face is pleasing, and the flute on his lips is filled with divine sound. Amidst the cows, gopas, and gopis, he stands at the base of a coral tree, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. Having risen early in the Brahma Muhurta and remembering the childish activities of the son and mother Yashoda, the gopis loudly sing while churning butter, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. Having churned and then set aside a fresh lump of butter in the house of Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda was now suspicious it had been eaten. She said, Hey, Murli, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, now tell me the truth. Having finished worship at home, a young gopi, like a strong current of love for Krishna, churned the butter and then joined together with all the gopis and their friends and sang, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. One time early in the morning, just as a girl had put aside her churn in a pot full of butter, she saw Mukunda. She then began to sing songs in various ways about Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. Without having even bathed or eaten, Krishna was absorbed in play. Overwhelmed with affection, Mother Yashoda, who thought only of her son's welfare, called out, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, come take your bath and eat something. Devarshi Narada and other munis are always surrendering to Lord Vishnu, who rests upon his couch. They always chant the names Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, and thus attain spiritual forms similar to his. After giving up sleep at dawn, having completed their ritualistic duties, and at the end of their Vedic chanting, the best of the learned Brahmas always loudly chant Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. In Vrindavan, seeing Srimati Radharani overwhelmed with separation from Govinda, groups of gopas and gopis, with tears in their lotus eyes, sang Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. The cows having already gone out to graze in the morning, Mother Yashoda gently roused her sleeping son with the palm of her hand, softly saying, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. With long, matted hair, the color of coral, bodies purified by eating only leaves, water, and air, the sages sit beneath the trees and chant, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. After speaking these words, the ladies of Raja, who are so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all worldly shame and loudly cried out, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. Sometimes a gopi is engaged in teaching a parrot within a jeweled cage to recite names like Anandakanda, source of bliss, Rajachandra, moon of Raja, Krishna, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. The lotus-eyed lord was tying the shika of a cowherd boy to a tail of a calf when his mother caught him, lifted up his chin and said, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. So it goes on from there. There's 71 verses. And this is called the Govinda Damodar Stotram. And it's very nice, the tune, and it, you know, each refrain is Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. And so you'll find, we can make some copies of this for the devotees, and we can sing it sometimes. And you'll find that when you sing it over and over, it's so charming and nice, the names Govinda Damodar Madhava will get stuck in your head. And then you'll be walking around all day singing Govinda Damodar Madhava. And that's the perfection of life. To somehow or other, the Goswami said, Rupa Goswami says, somehow or other, remember the name of the Lord. Get it fixed in your head. So hearing these kinds of stotrams are very important for that. Did you like it, Satya?
Yeah.
You found the verse. Let's give him a hand. Haribo, that's the way to go. Education is not about knowing everything. It's knowing how to look it up and where to find it and having the gumption to do so. So everyone should feel free to pop up at any time and go to the case. In fact, you score extra points. When you're thinking of something and you want to find something, get up and go to the bookcase. That's why we have all the books here. Pull them down, look them up, find where the stuff is. Okay, so the verse is in the 18th chapter, text number 5. How did you find it? Instruct us.
I actually looked in the charity in the English index.
Yes.
And charity, the benefits of charity.
Okay.
And there were a few verses, and this was one of them.
We could only say three things in reply to your finding this verse. Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, Jagdadana Tapa Karma, Nat Chajam, Karyam Eva Tut. Jagno danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Purport. The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called vivaha jagna. Should a sannyasi who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Jagna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha Jagna should be encouraged, even by persons in the renounced order of life. Sannyasis should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advance spiritual life. And Prabhupada mentions in his writings in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one writes something, he or she should do it for self-purification. whatever we do, we should do it for self-purification. For instance, if you're going to do a program somewhere, nobody may show up. You might call a program, you may even advertise it for weeks and put up flyers and everything like that. You may go there, and then no one will come. But do we care? Not really, because in a way, we're we care, and we'll try to figure out how to do it better next time, but in another sense, we're going for self-purification. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we can preach to the four walls. We can go there and simply do it for our own purification. Yes, Prabhuji.
I've heard that when Prabhupada also preached to the four walls. I don't know where, but I've heard that.
Many times. When Prabhupada first came to America, there was no audience. There was only some crazy people running around. In fact, when I was in New York last weekend, I visited the tree. I took darshan of the tree that Prabhupada sat under. When he went there, he was alone. It had no followers, nobody, and he sat next to that tree in Tompkins Square Park, and he simply chanted to all the different directions. And then, and this is important because actually sometimes it appears that we're not doing anything, or it feels like we're not doing anything. And we can become frustrated, especially if we compare ourselves to others. Like we might see another yatra that's bigger, that has more opulence or something like that, and we'll think, well, why can't we be like that? Or personally, we may feel that we can't do what other people are doing, or we may feel frustrated that we only have a certain amount of power to perform a certain amount of devotional service. But I have a theory about that, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my theory is. I call it the niche theory, and here's how it goes. It doesn't matter where you are or what position you're in. You should do what you can with what you have, where you are now, and do the best you can with that situation. And that will expand and make a difference in the world in remarkable ways that we have no idea of. We have a certain circle of influence due to whatever our past activities have been, whatever kind of association we've had, whatever our samskaras are, and we can do that much. But if we do it sincerely, and we do it, and we try to perfect it, then eventually it will have a profound effect on a wider circle of influence, perhaps on a very wide, it will have a very wide circle of influence. And I'll give you an example. In New York City, for many, many years, there were no high-rise buildings. And there were very few even high apartment buildings. They only went up a couple stories. Why? Because people had to walk up the stairs. But there was one invention that changed everything. And that invention was the steel cable. Previously, there was only rope, and they couldn't support an elevator car to go up many, many floors. One man who has had a niche market, and that was developing steel cable. He invented the steel cable, and then he began to market it. And after that, huge skyrise buildings went up all over New York City. And it turned into the gigantic metropolis that it is now. Why? Because of one man's invention. Previous to that, it wasn't possible. They couldn't build big buildings, and they couldn't accommodate so many people in the city. So he didn't have an understanding of what was to take place when he was within his niche and developing that cable. Similarly, we may have some small duty to do within the realm of devotional service. But not to worry. If we concentrate on that duty and we do it perfectly, whatever little thing the Lord has given us, whatever small opportunity the Lord has given us, and he will give everyone an opportunity, doesn't matter where we are, if we take with full sincerity the opportunity that he's given us and perfect it, we have no idea what that might do for others, for the whole world. So we may be in a small yatra, we may be in a small house, we may be anywhere, but if we concentrate on purifying the vibration and sincerely trying to do our service with due diligence every single day, then that will become exportable. It will become valuable to the rest of the world. And who knows? It may be like that cable. It can go out into the world. And we've seen many times devotees who are very sincere, like Srila Prabhupada, who came to America he sat down and he took what he had and he perfected it within the context that he was given. Sit under a tree, chant Hare Krishna. Nobody comes, chant to the four directions. But do it perfectly. Do it sincerely. Do it according to the instruction of Rupa Goswami. Then the Lord can give everything. Everything can happen. On the other hand, if we do our service without due diligence and we're sloppy and we don't take advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives us, why should he give us more? And even if he does give us more, how will we be ready to handle it? So, you're back. I thought you went to India.
No, I'm going on first.
Oh. I was thinking maybe it was a bad dream I had that you were leaving. Okay. Govinda Damodar Madhava. Hare Krishna. So that's my niche theory, and I'm sticking to it. Hare Krishna.